Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 12, 2024, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, first things first, today is Chris Levchek's birthday today, and I got a message from your dad, and he is having a glass of really great wine for your birthday up in heaven right now. And he says, happy birthday. And you don't have to hurry right away, but get your ass up there. That's why he said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Every once in a while, God works in people's hearts and they contact us here at Upland Bible Church. Today we got contacted by three different pastors in Africa. And the first one is Pastor Nakoma, and he says, I've been reading and using the booklet titled God's Gift of Love to the World, Jesus Christ. And I am here to request, send more of those books. I am Pastor Patrick Nakoma from Malawi, and he has ministries in Malawi and Mozambique and influence in 40 different churches. And he wants the gospel booklet. And then Pastor Ezekiel. And we have a picture of Pastor Ezekiel out on the bulletin board. He is in Cameroon. He says, thanks for the prayer requests sent every month. He gets the prayer requests that you all get as well. Gets them in Cameroon, Africa. Thanks for the prayer requests sent every month and the updates. Our God answers prayer, and we can testify on this part of His grace provision. That's this is a perfect introduction to what we're going to be studying tonight. Please, in this month of September, and I love this, he hasn't got the English language down, but neither do some of you have it down either. Please, in this month of September, I will love us to pray for my ministry and family here in Cameroon. I am also doing evangelism in our community to the old people, and I share the gospel in the general gathering. Pray for positive volition, in grace, Pastor Ezekiel, Cameroon. And then this came from Pastor Wakoli. And we think he's in Kenya. It doesn't say on this, in Kenya in Africa. He starts out by saying, I am much thrilled with your teaching. I wanted to find this guy and kiss him. I'm much thrilled with your teaching. Grace and peace, servant of God, Pastor Richard. Is all well with you on the other side of the world? I'm Brother Eric, serving as a senior pastor in my church. This morning, I am much blessed being in touch with you and your beautiful church family. I'm going to have to send him a message on that. Take a picture of you and then he'll change that word. And your beautiful church family. I just want to encourage you that we are and we have been praying for all of you as Christ's co-workers in his vineyard, especially in these dreadful days that we are living in. In this dispensation, he has been getting the classes. He knows dispensations. Well, most believers in America don't know dispensations. In this dispensation, things have gone crazy and a lot of turmoil being experienced everywhere. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Surely in every situation, our loving God is faithful and will continue navigating us through no matter what comes our way. His grace and love for humankind is evident, and let us keep the fire burning as we purpose to serve him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. And this is our theme and prayer for us this year. Walking right and pursuing righteousness each day as we yearn for worshiping him in spirit and truth. We love you, and we appreciate how the living God is blessing your lives on the other side of the world and moving in your midst as you continue magnifying his holy name. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ our Lord. I can truly testify that you stand for God in truth and in spirit, and therefore keep up the good work you are doing there by edifying the body of Christ in fullness of joy. I have been following you up on your website and blessed with your wonderful teachings. I'm spiritually nourished, and my life has never remained the same, as I'm always stay tuned. Your sermons are sound, without manipulation, and have brought spiritual healing in my life. We, far from another continent, are listening from what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking through you. And our great desire is to become best doers of the word. I see you are firm and serious with the things of God. Here in our country, we are thirsty and hunger for such word of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Blessed be to the name of God our Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Faithfully is he who trusts in him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, whose name is above all names. His love and mercies never fail, but are new every morning. May your gates be flooded with joy, love, breakthroughs, greatness, grace, favor, divine protection, praise, and thanksgiving as you continue pressing toward the mark to win the prize of the high calling of God through Jesus Christ. Pastor Eric Wakoli. So here we have people in America that don't give a hoot about the Word of God. And here are people in Africa that it means absolutely everything to them. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, let's start at verse 11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having, you keep on possessing eternal life. At that moment, in each one of our lives, and it's different for each one of us, when we believe in Jesus Christ, God gives us a gift. And that gift is eternal life. When we receive the gift of eternal life, we also receive eternal security. We can never ever lose our salvation. Only the believer with eternal life, only the believer has eternal life, while the unbeliever does not have eternal life. It is one thing to believe in Jesus Christ, but it's another thing to know and to have absolute confidence that there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Confidence toward God is developed by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's developed as you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life means eternal security. Both eternal life and eternal security are guaranteed by the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. God is infinite virtue. God is infinite integrity. God is infinite honor. God is infinitely fair. Eternal security is an unbreakable relationship because it depends entirely on who and what God is, and never on who and what we are. Man's weakness cannot cancel God's strength. Man's failures cannot abrogate or nullify the integrity of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. When the spiritually dead person believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit makes his faith in Christ effective for eternal salvation. At the moment of salvation, God gives us 40 blessings instantly, none of which can ever be canceled. God cannot cancel them because of our failures. God cannot cancel them because of our bad decisions. We cannot do anything to lose them. These 40 salvation blessings cannot be canceled by our failures or renunciation of God or by any evil that we may do. Eternal security is infinitely greater than any sin or human good or evil that we do from our sin nature. The permanent possession of eternal life carries with it the guarantee of eternal security. And the same God who provides eternal security by grace also provides temporal security through logistical grace blessing sent down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. That logistical grace blessing is temporal security. And that temporal security keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Eternal security and temporal security is something every believer possesses regardless of his experiential status. However, confidence in this eternal security and temporal security is not possessed by every believer. Eternal security and temporal security at salvation is something God gives to us, while confidence in God is developed in the believer as he lives the unique spiritual life of the church age. The believer who grows up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He develops confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. But whether you have confidence in God or not does not change God's attitude toward you. You will always have eternal security and temporal security. That's received by the grace of God at the moment of salvation. However, we acquire confidence through consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God. Understanding eternal security and temporal security, as well as many other doctrines, gives us confidence in our life, confidence toward God, confidence in the Word of God. Confidence is an experience which comes through learning, believing, and applying more and more of the God-breathed Scriptures. However, ignorance of the Word of God is simply failure in learning and believing the Word of God. So there's a principle. Ignorance of the Word of God is costly. because it deprives the believer of confidence in God. It deprives the believer of confidence in the Word of God. It deprives the believer of confidence in eternal security. It deprives the believer of confidence in temporal security. So, one, eternal life, the gift of eternal life, eternal security, and temporal security is permanent and cannot be destroyed by the believer's failures. Now, there's all kinds of believers. There are winner believers and loser believers. There are believers that after faith in Christ, they want to know the Word of God. And they find a sound Bible teaching church and get in and learn and learn and learn the Word of God. They learn it, they believe it, they grow up, they advance from a baby believer to adolescent believer to spiritually mature believer. And these believers are the ones who will receive great crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever. But there are also those who will believe in Christ, and after they believe in Christ for eternal salvation, they get sidetracked. They wind up making bad decisions. They get out of fellowship with God. They start operating in Satan's cosmic system. And they make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, but they don't lose their eternal life. They don't lose their eternal security. They don't lose temporal security. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when they're evaluated, they will lose out on the crowns and rewards. Those crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ are given to those believers who live the spiritual life, who advance the spiritual maturity, who have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. But those who make bad decisions to live their life out of fellowship with God, in carnality and reversionism, they lose out on those crowns and rewards. They'll still be in heaven. They'll still be in heaven and live in heaven with God forever and ever. But they lose out on those greater grace blessings for all eternity. So point one, eternal life, eternal security, and temporal security are permanent and cannot be destroyed by the believer's failures. Two, confidence in God is a temporary experience which can be nullified through ignorance of the Word of God, rejection of the Word of God. You go negative and say no to the Word of God, say no to God, say no to the Word of God. Through arrogance, through continued residence, living in Satan's cosmic system instead of living the spiritual life. So confidence in God is a temporary experience which can be nullified by the individual believer's bad decisions. Point three, eternal life, eternal security, and temporal security depends on the faithfulness and integrity of God. Eternal life, eternal security, and temporal security depends on the faithfulness and the integrity of God. Four, confidence depends on the believer making good decisions. Good decisions after salvation. Good decisions. Well, first, you want to know God. You want to learn the Word of God. So you search, and if you are positive and want to know God's Word, He will guide you. He will guide you to the right place, to the right local church where sound doctrinal Bible teaching is given, if you desire that, He'll get you there. If you don't desire it, well, then you just stumble around in the dark. But you have a free will, and when you desire to know more about God and more about the Word of God, He will get you in the right local church with sound doctrinal teaching so that you can develop great confidence in God and great confidence in the Word of God. So, point four, confidence depends on the believer making the good decisions to live the spiritual life that God has given us in the church age. And that means living it by the spiritual skills. God's given us mandates in this dispensation. First of all, the mandate to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the second spiritual skill, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, a mandate. Grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Five, eternal life and eternal security is a guarantee from God. Eternal life and eternal security is a guarantee from God. Never to be lost. Never to be lost. Six, confidence in God and His Word is a virtue that is developed. It's developed as you grow up spiritually and in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So confidence in God and in His Word is a virtue that is developed as you grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seven, all believers possess the gift of eternal life and eternal security. All believers possess the gift of eternal life and eternal security. However, point eight, unfortunately, many believers do not have confidence in God and in His Word. Unfortunately, there are many believers who do not have confidence in God and in His Word. Nine, confidence in God exists to the extent that the believer lives the spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. By the power of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. 10, confidence in God, however, vanishes to the extent that the believer lives his life out of fellowship with God. Lives his life in carnality and reversionism. Lives his life in Satan's cosmic system. So confidence in God vanishes to the extent that the believer resides and lives his life out of fellowship with God, lives his life in carnality and reversionism, lives his life in Satan's cosmic system. Now we're in 1 John chapter 5. But all the way through here, John has been dealing with this. So let's go back for a moment. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 verse 28. 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, and that doesn't mean that your children, this is talking about students of the Word of God, believers in Jesus Christ. And now, dear children, keep on abiding in Him. Keep on living the spiritual life. For the purpose that when He appears, that's phanerao in the Greek, that's the rapture of the church. The church age concludes with the rapture. When He appears at the rapture, we might have confidence. We might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame by Him, Jesus Christ, at His coming in the presence of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. First, the rapture takes place, and after the rapture, we are all evaluated. The evaluation is the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be believers there who will be there and have great confidence because they know God, they love God, they love God the Father, they love Jesus Christ. They have great confidence and they will receive crowns and rewards that glorify God forever and ever. But there will be other believers there who will be disgraced. They will be put to shame. Why? Because they lived out of fellowship with God. They lived in carnality and reversionism. So they will be disgraced and put to shame by Him, Jesus Christ, at His coming in His presence at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, 1 John chapter 3, John talks about this again. He says in verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, and for the believer who is in fellowship with God, for the believer who's living the spiritual life, for the believers growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, his heart does not condemn him. But for the believer who makes bad decisions and lives out of fellowship with God, lives in carnality and reversionism, lives in Satan's cosmic system, his heart condemns him. But beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we keep on having confidence before God and the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And then he brings it up again in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. By this, living the spiritual life, and having virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, with the result that we might have confidence in the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, when we are all going to be evaluated. We're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ following the rapture. We will all be evaluated. And I expect all of you to look forward to that. To look forward to that. I mean, we haven't seen. None of us have seen Jesus Christ. And so the rapture, well, you might die before the rapture. But the way things are going, I think the rapture's close. The way my knees feel, I hope it's tonight. But anyway, you might die before the rapture. And if you do, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, and you will see Jesus Christ. How great is that going to be? How fantastic is that? But if the rapture occurs before you die, well, you will see Him at that time, and you are looking forward to that. The rapture, you're looking forward to the evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll be standing there with the greatest confidence because you know Jesus Christ. You love Jesus Christ. You've glorified God in your life, and He will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And there will be crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings be poured out on you for all eternity. And those crowns and rewards glorify God forever and ever and ever. So John has been teaching all the way through here about The winner believer, the mature believer, has confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God, and he will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, with the greatest confidence. All right. So, that's 1 John 5:11 to 13. Now, I mean, that's great. 1 John 5:11 to 13, phenomenal. But now, 1 John 5:14 and 15 is more fantastic. 1 John 5:14 and 15. In fact, I think I'll give you previews of coming attraction, what this is going to sound like in corrected translation. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything in prayer according to his will, he hears us. In fact, when we know that he hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of him. What a fantastic promise for the believer who makes the good decisions to live the spiritual life after salvation, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, and to accomplish the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that virtue love is made up of personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, which motivates the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective that God has for each one of us, to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. And when that's reality, well, it doesn't make any difference what's going on here. It doesn't make any difference whether you are in prosperity or adversity, whether you're in good health or whether you're in poor health. It makes no difference if you have problems, suffering, adversity. You have personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ. You have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You have that confidence in knowing that God is holding on to your hand and leading you step by step. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God, no matter what's going on in your life. And God may give you most fantastic, greater grace blessing is undeserved suffering for blessing. When you attain spiritual maturity, God has a special category of blessing for you. He's going to let you run the hurdles. You get to all run hurdles. Now, I was a hurdler at Washington State University. I ran hurdles. I love running the hurdles. But now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and pastor of a local church, and now I'm getting to the later stages. And God provides for the winner believer undeserved suffering for blessing, the opportunity of running hurdles. The hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing and glorifying God in suffering. The winner believer glorifies God in his suffering as well as in prosperity. And that's a special category of blessing only given to the winner believer. Not to the baby believer, not to the adolescent believer, not to the reversionistic believer, only to the winner believer, only. So I hope all of you will be running hurdles. We'll all run hurdles together. And God has the precisely correct procedure to clear those hurdles. His problem-solving devices. And you have learned them, you believe them, you know them, and you apply them, and you clear those hurdles with precisely correct procedure by the grace and the power of God. And in doing so, you glorify God in suffering as well as in times of prosperity. So here we have now 1 John 5:14-15. Confidence in God. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which results in great, powerful, and effective prayer. Now, when I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary and preparing for the ministry, I would get together with some of the people in our group and for lunch. And we were sitting there, and one person who was in the doctrinal crowd sat there, and he's talking. He says, "You know, I don't believe prayer works." And I looked at him. I said, "What's the spiritual gift that you, what do you think the spiritual gift is that God gave you?" "A pastor, teacher." I said, "Okay. Now, when God gives you a part of His flock to teach, are you going to teach the congregation that you don't believe the prayer works? If you're going to be honest, you might as well stand up and say, 'I don't believe the prayer works.'" And I said, "Prayer is the most powerful, wonderful, great grace weapon God has given to all of us. A grace weapon of prayer. But you got to know precisely correct procedure of how to use that divine weapon of prayer." And so I decided right there, as I'm listening to that fellow talk, I said, "Father," I didn't say it at the lunch table, but in my room, "Father, when you give me a group of your flock, I am going to teach the precisely correct procedure of prayer so that they can understand and know, and so they can pray and have powerful, effective prayer that accomplishes much." And I've been doing that ever since I've been here. And you know, now we get contacted by people all over the United States and different parts of the world, and they want, as this pastors in Africa, wanting us to pray for their ministry. They want to be put on the prayer list because they have heard, and word got around, boy, when these people pray for you, things happen. Well, it's because there's a precisely correct procedure. If you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you attain spiritual maturity, then you will know the will of God. And the key to prayer is praying according to the will of God. The will of God revealed in the Word of God. The only way you're going to know the will of God is to know the Word of God. So you find a sound Bible teaching church, and you get in, and you learn and believe and learn and believe and learn and believe and grow up. And what do you learn? You learn what the will of God is from the Word of God. Now you go to prayer, and you're praying according to the will of God. You are a spiritually adult believer. You are praying according to the will of God, and your prayers are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much. And that's the way God intended it to be. God intended it for you to pray, and your prayers to be powerful, effective, and accomplish much. And He's given us promises to that regard, and we have promise right here, 1 John 5:14-15. All right, we start out in verse 14, and it says, And this is the confidence that we have in Him. We have the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of eimi plus the nominative singular of paresia with the definite article plus the accusative singular of the relative pronoun hos plus the present active indicative of echo and the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of autos. All right, we start out with the conjunction chi. It's a connective chi. You translate that and. Then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos. Pretty good. Happy birthday, Chris. Houtos. Looks like that in the Greek H. The letter H is actually, that's a mouth breathing over the word. That's how they put an H in Greek. So H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is a demonstrative pronoun, correctly translated this, and it refers to what follows, namely, powerful and effective prayer for the spiritually mature believer who has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Then we have the to be verb eimi, correctly translated is, and then paresia. Looks like that in the Greek P-A-R-R, long E-S-I-A, paresia. A couple of things. First of all, paresia means plainly or openly. Plainly or openly. Point two, it was used of outspokenness or frankness or plainness of speech. Outspokenness, frankness, plainness of speech. Three, then it came to mean courage, confidence, boldness, fearlessness. And that's how it's used here in our verse. Courage, confidence, boldness, fearlessness. Four, this is confidence in God. Confidence in God as a result of accomplishing the ultimate objective that God has for each one of you. To have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. So this is confidence in God as a result of your personal love for God. This is confidence in God because of your occupation with Jesus Christ. Five, this is confidence in God as a result of personal love for the Father and personal love for the Son. You have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know Christ. You love Christ. He's the most important person in your life. Because you know Him and love Him, you have confidence in Him. The relative pronoun hos, which means which confidence, and then echo, to have and to hold, which confidence we have, we possess. Who's we? We's we, ain't we? Well, we is the believer who is living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity. And then pros plus the accusative of autos. It means to Him, toward Him, with Him, before Him. Who is Him? Where do your prayers go? Who do you pray to? Precisely correct procedure. They go to the Father. All prayers are directed to God the Father. So before Him is before the Father. So it says, and this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, this is before Him in our prayers. And this is where last night's class and tonight's class dovetail together. Last night we were talking about spiritual sacrifices, our royal priesthood. God has given us two royal commissions at the moment of salvation in the church age. We have been commissioned a royal priest, and we have been commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. As a royal priest, one thing we know as we study the Old Testament, there was a specialized priesthood, the Levitical priest, and what did they do? They offered sacrifices. Sacrifices. Daily sacrifices, sacrifices, sacrifices. They were animal sacrifices. It might be a lamb that was brought before. They would cut the lamb's throat, catch the blood, and then present it on the altar. They were sacrifices, but they were animal sacrifices. But that's what the priest did. He offered sacrifices, 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 sacrifices. Well, now, you're a priest. I'm a priest. We are all priests, a royal priesthood. And what do priests do? Offer sacrifices. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices. But 1 Peter 2:5, Hebrews 13:15-16 says we offer spiritual sacrifices. And then it defines what those spiritual sacrifices are. And the first is prayer. And specifically, thanksgiving in prayer. You offer the spiritual sacrifice of prayer to God. Thanksgiving to God. And as you grow up in the and attain spiritual maturity, you want to pray. Why do you want to pray? Why do you want to go to the Father? Because you love Him. You love God the Father. You love Jesus Christ. They're the number one and most important love of your life. So you look forward to going to prayer, offering spiritual sacrifice of prayer, of thanksgiving. And the more you learn about God and the plan of God and the will of God and the Word of God, the more you have thanksgiving, the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. You will offer about 100 spiritual sacrifices every day in your prayer life. Because you're a royal priest. God has made each one of us, commissioned us a royal priest. Well, that's what we have here too. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now, there's a lot of prayers that go up. I think there's probably more prayers offered in Las Vegas than anywhere in the world. Down in all the casinos. I tell you, there's a lot of people praying down there all the time. Oh, I pray that I'll hit the jackpot. Oh, I pray now I'll hit the jackpot. Pray now. A lot of prayers go up in Las Vegas. But what's the key? If we ask anything according to His will. And where are we going to learn about the will of God? In the Word of God. And how are you going to learn the Word of God? Well, that's where, if you're positive, God will guide you to a local church where you can get sound doctrinal teaching and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and learn the will of God. So, and this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything according to His will, this is the conjunction ha t plus the conditional particle aeon with the subjunctive plus with the subjunctive of the verb aiteo plus the accusative singular neuter of the indefinite pronoun tis plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of thelema with the genitive singular of auta. Now, the conjunction ha t, many times ha t is a causal conjunction. But not here. Ha t, many times it's causal, but this is not causal. This is a ha t that introduces an object clause, and you translate that. It introduces what the spiritually mature believer has confidence in, namely, a powerful and effective prayer life. Spiritually mature believer loves to pray. He understands it. He does the right thing the right way. He's offering spiritual sacrifices, and he's doing it the right way by the power of the Spirit of God, and he's praying according to the will of God, and his prayers are answered. They're powerful. They're effective, and they accomplish much in his life. And I expect that to be true of all of you in here. That should be true of all of you. You should look forward to prayer. You should look forward to these spiritual sacrifices daily in thanksgiving to God. And also those spiritual sacrifices are divine good production. And also in Hebrews 13, grace giving. All of those are spiritual sacrifices that you offer from your royal priesthood. So that introduces what the spiritually mature believer has confidence in, namely, a powerful and effective prayer life. The conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive introduces a third class condition. And then the verb aiteo. Aiteo, which looks like this in the Greek, A-I-T-E long O, aiteo. And aiteo, well, let's get a few points on aiteo. First of all, it means to ask or to ask for. Two, this is a special verb for prayer. Aiteo is a special verb for prayer. It means to ask in prayer. To ask in prayer. The present tense is an iterative present. An iterative present. The iterative present is repeated action. Repeated action. And as you grow up and attain spiritual maturity, that iterative, repeated action is day after day after day. You look forward to it. You look forward to it. I look forward to it. I come here every day. And back in, this is my happy place. This is my happy place. I come here every day. I study. But before I study, I pray. And because I want to pray, I look forward to pray, and I look forward to offering some spiritual sacrifices to the Father in thanksgiving. And I, as I learn more and more and grow more and more, my thanksgiving sacrifices increase more and more and more. And that's the same way for each one of you. Iterative present, repeated action. The middle voice is the indirect middle. The indirect middle places the emphasis on the agent, the spiritually mature believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, producing the action, asking in prayer with total confidence. Asking in prayer with total confidence that God hears his prayer. The subjunctive mood goes along with aeon to introduce this third class condition. Point three, the indefinite pronoun tis means anything. Anything. However, point four, anything must be kata tathalema autu. Kata, that's the preposition kata, according to a norm or standard. Ta thalema, the will. God's will, the will of him. And who is him? God. So anything is qualified. It must be kata tathalema autu, according to God's will. It has to be according to the will of God. Now there's a lot of prayers that go up, but they're not according to the will of God. According to the will of God. 5. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. 6. When you have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, that enables you to pray according to the will of God the Father. When you have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, you've learned it, you believe it, that enables you to pray according to the will of God, the will of the Father. 7. And what does that result in? Powerful and effective prayer. Powerful and effective prayer. So the corrected translation. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. I told you this was great. You thought 11:13 was great. 14 and 15 is greater. And greatest is coming up when we're face to face with the Lord. There you go. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. Well, we'll pick this up next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.